Magic 2CH, Dominic Steele here tonight, and my guest is Tracy Trinica, and Tracy's on the line from Brisbane. Tracy, good evening.
Good evening, Dominic.
Now, you're a fashion model by trade. You left home at 14 years old and went from your native land of Indonesia to find fame and fortune in New York. Tell us about that.
That's right. When I was 14, I won three major competitions that brought me from nobody to somebody, kind of. And that makes me a really desire to gain more happiness through wealth and fame, because for the first time, I feel like through modeling, I can actually be happier.
Mm. Now, I'm just trying to picture myself. I mean, I've got a son who's 16 and a daughter who's 20. I can't imagine what it would have been like for you as a 14-year-old to leave home in Indonesia and move all the way to New York. Did your parents go with you? Were you just on your own? What was the situation?
Yeah, well, my parents actually against it. My parents think that I'm too small to leave home.
But, yeah, I think you were too small to leave home.
I think now looking back, I think so. But at the time, I act like an adult. I argue with my parents. I begged them, and finally they let me, only for a year to try. But if I change of lifestyle and character, then I have to go back to Indonesia. But the reason why I really want to pursue modeling, international modeling, is because we don't really have a properly Indonesian model who ever make it in the...
Yeah, you were really one of the first Indonesian supermodels, is that right?
I was one of the first. I was the only winners from elite model from Indonesia, and I was, at that time, I was probably one of the first to actually walk in the Fashion Week of Paris and New York.
Because you did a whole lot of those catwalks all around Milan, New York, Paris, those kind of places. What was it like? Were you kind of just, who was supervising you? How did it work when you're 14 years old?
It sounds like it's a dangerous world, but for under 16 years old, models have to stay with a chaperone in the model's apartment. So, and also the job that we have is filtered by we given paper to choose what kind of job we want and the kind of job we don't want. So we have the freedom to say no. And at a very young age, lots of the models actually travel with their mothers.
Right.
But in my case, my parents trust me for 1 year.
Yep.
And after 1 year, I was proven to be still normal. And I can go back to New York again after that.
Right. Now, what happened in terms of you went on this adventure, really looking for fame, fortune, satisfaction, meaning? Did you find it in modeling?
Dominic, it's very interesting that you ask that question, because just when I won the competitions, I realized like I'm happier, and I really thought happiness comes from money and fame. Mm. When I worked as a model, as a full-time model, when I started to earn fame and earn money, I realized that, well, I'm happy at a certain stage of life, but then there is something scares me come into my heart, which is a sense of emptiness. And that is something that I was surprised that it actually come when I actually already have money and fame.
Yeah.
So that sense of emptiness is something that I wasn't ready to handle. I don't even know why it's there when I'm actually already supposed to be happy.
Mm. And it was that sense of emptiness that got you reaching out for God. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, because at first I tried to find a solution from the world, asking questions to my friends, do they have the same experience, and they do, and their solution is very worldly. In fact, in the long run, it will ruin me. It's not even a solution. So that's why I cry out and I say, like, God, if you're real, please reveal yourself to me.
How did that work? What happened?
See, I was waiting for a voice from heaven, like, Tracy, this is God.
Yeah.
But there is no answer verbally, but God answered not in my way, but in his way, because months later, in Paris, is when God started to reveal himself.
In Paris?
Indeed.
What happened in Paris?
So I moved to Paris, and I built friendship with this student from Indonesia, and she asked me to go to church. I went to church as a skeptic, and I look around me, there is a glow in people's face, and I wonder, like, is it because they have a relationship with Jesus?
So is this a French language church or an Indonesian
English
language?
It's an Anglican church.
Yeah, Anglican church. Okay.
Near the Rue du Saint-Honoré.
Right.
In central Paris. And I was just fascinated at this glow on people's face, even though they look so normal and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a point of attractiveness into the Christian faith, but something resisting in my heart, saying like, no, you cannot easily believe. You have to do your homework and comparing every religion around
you. And you did a fair bit of research, didn't you?
I did, and I did for almost a year. I asked around 6 belief systems the same question they have to answer, from the origin, meaning, purpose, morality, and destiny.
Right. What did you make of Jesus?
I was very surprised because I have so much opinion about Jesus, but I never read the Bible.
Yep.
I hate him, but I don't know him. And when I started to get to know him from skeptical perspective, I read the Bible, I asked questions about him, I was surprised. Christian faith is the only faith that God is so personal.
Mm.
And God comes to the world, God the one who rescued us, not us reaching up to heaven, but God came down to earth. And for me, that was amazing, it was beautiful, but a little bit too good to be true at that time.
Mm. Now, as you figured out Jesus, what did you make of his death on the cross for you?
I found that the longer I studied, the more I asked questions about all belief systems, I was compelled by the sacrifice that Jesus made to save us, to wash our sins, and all the sacrifice on the cross was extremely significant. And first I asked this question, like, is it still significant for me because it happened 2,000 years ago? And my friend says this beautiful line, Jesus' blood is sufficient to cleanse the whole sin of the world. It will be effective when you said yes to Jesus, so his precious blood will never go in vain. And I was like, wow. And for me, someone who loved me so much that willing to sacrifice for me, that's something else. That's above logical explanation. For me, that was like, wow, too good to be true, but I want it. I want it.
That's great. Yeah. And then how did life change as you kind of understood more and more the death of Jesus Christ?
I found that when I say yes to Jesus, when I say yes to his sacrifice, when I say, God, please forgive me, please cleanse me and come to my life. One thing about what's happening, I was the implication of saying yes to Jesus. I was worried I'll become a boring person.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I had to be boring, but not empty. Because forget about, you know, I was fine on the outside, but I was so empty in the inside. But now I'm not empty in the inside, even if I, you know, like, I don't care if I look boring, but as long as I'm no longer empty. But in fact, I'm not. Life with Christ is not boring. In fact, God restored all the brokenness in me slowly but surely, that all the crises I had in the past, all my insecurities, slowly God built a new identity that attached in him.
Mm.
That is a freedom. That's liberating me to be who I am. And after that, my work is even better than before.
Mm.
I was just a free person for the first time.
Hey, Tracy, thanks very much for talking to us tonight.
Thank you.
Tracy Trinica on the line there. And look, she is speaking on Friday night, Friday, August the 26th. At 5:30, it's a special event. It's happening at the Conservatorium of Music, and I'm just looking here at the details. It's $30 for a ticket, for drinks, complimentary, and then the whole evening with Tracy speaking. And if you'd like to go along, you can go to citybibleforum.org.